This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, let us have too deep a sense of humor ever to be proud. Let us know our absurdity before I act absurdly. Let us realize that when we are humble, we are most human, most truthful, and most worthy of your serious consideration. Amen. Good morning. Well, I understand there was a murder mystery here the other night. I couldn't be here myself, but I heard about it. And there were about 100 people whose job it was to try and figure out who did it. Well, if I was to take that little paradigm and try to adapt it to what the gospel and the letter from James are trying to teach us today, it's about not worrying about who did it from a Christian journey perspective. It's about giving glory to God. As my favorite boss and supervisor used to always say, a lot more gets done when nobody cares who gets the credit. And it certainly is a task of us on the Christian journey to be a people of humility. Humility. Not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking about ourselves less, as C.S. Lewis tells us. It goes back to what we talked about last week, and Rev. Wendy did that wonderful exercise with us all, and the whole point was for us to realize that we are God's beloved children, period. Not of who we think we are, or what we do, or how we identify ourselves, because you take all of that away, and we still have the I am. And the I am is a beloved child of God. And that is what we are celebrating here today with Kate's baptism and with our six youth who are making their Right 13 celebration of manhood and womanhood today. We embarked on a strategic planning process again at this church, and it's been my task to come up with this letter that is yet to go out to you all, because I've been struggling with how I feel we need to frame this. And so I've spent considerable time researching all of the strategic planning that this church has done from the first time I came here on March 11, 2001, and you were in the middle of a process back then. But the first one that I really got involved with was called the Child in Our Hands, the Hand in Hand Committee that we had, and we brought in Dick Hardell and a whole team of people, and we looked at, from the outside, somebody looking in and saying, what are the strengths and the weaknesses and the opportunities for St. Joseph's? What amazes me is that back in 2002, the same strengths, the same opportunities, and the same weaknesses as what we're dealing with right now in our church. So much has not changed, and so much has changed. But one of the things that comes screaming out is what we try to do here today, is that to continue to emphasize the intergenerational blessing of our life together. And so with the rejuvenation of our youth program, it is so, so appropriate for us to gather here to celebrate this today. But then we look at the gospel and it's talking about humility. I had a friend of mine who was several years ahead of me in seminary, and this guy was on the fast track. He only had that tragic flaw of excessive pride. As a friend of mine used to always say about him, he's very proud of his humility. Well, this man had some issues with that. He was on the fast track. He had gone through seminary. He had gotten promotions. They sent him off to Rome. He was a big mucky muck over in Rome. He came back to St. Louis, and he went out with some of his friends on a camping trip, and there was a river. And at the river, they had had these torrential rains in the summer in the area, and the stream of water that was flowing by made it such that they had these announcements out, don't try to swim in the river, it's not safe. Well, he decided, ha, I can do that, I'm strong enough. And his friends, who relate the story to me, pleaded with him not to do it, it is not safe. And he insisted, I'm strong enough, I can do this. Well, it does not have a happy ending. He drowned. It was all because of his pride. You can't tell me. Now, there is this delicate balance that we get into. Because what we learned about and continue to learn about is that we are God's beloved children, period. That we should feel good about ourselves, but at the same time, we can't let our pride get in our way and tell us that we cannot do certain things. And we need each other to keep that balance going. We talk about balance. These young people, I will guarantee that their moms and dads will tell you, there is some balance that is needed. Every once in a while, I can remember even saying about my own daughter, who is this person? Because changes happen as we grow. In a very short time, they're going to lead us in the beautiful Psalm 139. Oh God, you've searched me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. A beautiful psalm. But we don't read the whole thing when we do that. Because when you really get into the text of this psalm, listen to these verses. Oh God, that you would slay the wicked. You that thirst for blood, depart from me. They speak despitefully against you. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. They have become my own enemies. How many times have you seen that on Facebook? There is this acknowledgement that our emotions go up and down, and we need this balance. We need this balance. And the important thing is that we have this community gathered who continues to bring us back to the center. I was reading one of my usual scripture scholars who writes on all of these gospel texts. And of course, they're arguing along the way of what was going on. And this is what he supposes the conversation probably was like. One of them said, and so who do you think the greatest of us is? And Simon Peter spoke up, well, I'm Jesus' right-hand man. I'm part of the inner circle. I'm the first one he took up the mountain. I'm the spokesman for this group, so therefore I'm the greatest. Whereupon his younger brother Andrew spoke up and said, well, dear big brother, let me remind you of something which you have conveniently forgotten. I was called into discipleship first. Indeed, I was the one who invited you to come to Jesus. I got you here. Therefore, I'm the greatest. But then James and John spoke up and said, you're both missing the point. Greatness is measured by the amount that you have sacrificed. And let us tell you, we stood to inherit our father Zebedee's lucrative fishing business. We gave all of that up. We're the greatest. And then Matthew chimed in. You want to talk about money? I can play that game. Remember, I was the tax collector. None of you had as much money as I did. Therefore, I'm the greatest. And with that, Judas said, you want to talk about money? And he shook the money bag with all the gold coins and said, remember, I'm the treasurer. Without me, you got nothing. I'm the greatest. And with that, Jesus didn't say a word. but picked up the child and placed him in their midst. We can oftentimes think it's about us. We remember those great words that St. John the Baptist always teaches us. He must increase, I must decrease. It continues to be for us, whether young, whether old, about being humble. That when we realize in the depths of our heart, I am a beloved child of God, then it doesn't matter anything else. St. Paul got that straight. St. Paul had to continue to understand as he went along what was the most important thing. I did a little research into how he evolved. When he wrote to Romans, he said, "Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry." Pretty boastful, huh? 2 years later, he writes to the Corinthians, "I'm the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle." 4 years later, he writes to the Ephesians, "I am less than the least of all God's people." And then after 2 more years of spiritual maturity, he writes to Timothy, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." It's not about thinking less of yourself. It's just about thinking more about others and about God as we mature. I told you that anecdote from my own personal life about the drowning priest. But there is an opposite story that is told that I just love that tells the story of some Indians who lived on the banks of a river. And they never went into the river because of the swift flowing current, and they knew that they would drown if they tried to cross. But one day they were attacked by a group of settlers and had their backs up against the banks of the river, and the only way to escape was to cross over. But they knew, if we try to cross this river, we will drown. So they huddled together, and someone came up with this brilliant idea. If we place the weakest and the children on our shoulders, the weight that they will add to our bodies will enable us to keep our footing and cross over. And so they took the weakest and the oldest and the youngest of children and placed them on the strongest people's shoulders, and sure enough, they crossed the river to safety. Whether or not it's true, it's a great pointed story. It tells us that it's not about us. It's about us together. I ran across a prayer attributed to Sir Francis Drake. And in light of these points I've made, I would invite us to end by reading this prayer together. "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true, because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely, because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life, when we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new earth to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future, in strength, courage, hope, love, and humility. Amen. Yeehaw.